The key which unlocks all the promises of God is this. Jesus taught that a man must be born again. I want you to notice the following statements that came from the lips of Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. The new birth is a necessity to being saved. Through the new birth, you come into the right relationship to God. The new birth is necessary before you can claim any of the benefits of the Bible. The new birth is not confirmation, church membership, water baptism, the taking of sacraments, observing religious duties, an intellectual reception of Christianity, orthodoxy of faith, going to church, saying prayers, reading the Bible, being moral, being cultured or refined, doing good deeds, doing your best, nor any of the many other things some men are trusting in to save them. Nicodemus, whom Jesus addressed concerning the new birth, possessed most of the qualities we just listed. But Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again." John 3:7. The thief on the cross and others Jesus forgave while on the earth were saved without these things. They simply did the one necessary thing. They accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior by repenting and turning to God with the whole heart as a little child. The one who is born again will automatically have the external evidences of a good life by virtue of the new birth. But there are millions, it's sad to say, who are trusting these things to save them. And millions will die and be lost without the new birth because they have been misled concerning the experience of being born again. It is all important that we pay personal attention to our eternal welfare and that we not trust the best of men in the matter. If we permit men to mislead us in eternal matters and are lost, it'll be too late to personally see after our welfare. Do something about it now. Don't take the attitude that you cannot be deceived. Don't take the attitude that your church is the only right one, cannot mislead you. Your church may be right in its teaching concerning the new birth, but make certain by going to the Bible yourself and seeing with your own eyes and knowing with your own heart that you're right with God, that you have the real new birth, and that you're living right with God every day. There is no purpose served in fooling yourself. You're either born again or you are not. You're either really saved or you are being deceived into thinking you are and you're lost. You know your own life and your true relationship to God. So get the facts settled that you are a genuinely saved person and in present contact with God. Culture, refinement, an outward correctness of life in the organized church or out of it cannot take the place of the new birth. For the trouble, you see, is in the heart. Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Mark 7:21-23. The trouble is in the heart, the inward man, the spirit. Merely to reform the outward man or the outward life will not save you. An artist could put a beautiful colored coating of wax on the outside of a rotten apple, but the apple would still be rotten at the heart. One bite into it would be a bite into decay. Out of Christ, every man is rotten in the heart. And mere outward correctness of life apart from Christ is artificial and the practice of hypocrites. And Jesus said of those he called hypocrites, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Matthew 23:27. The Bible, friends, is a mystery book until we find the key that opens it. Then it ceases to be a mystery and becomes a message. There are two words which will open the Bible, and those words are life and death. Now, death has been a mystery in all ages. Science stands utter mute in its presence, unable to explain it. Philosophy turns poetical when it meets this dread enemy of man, and theology has dealt only in generalities when attempting and trying to explain it. Death, that bloodhound-like foe, began its work at the cradle of the human race and followed it down through the stream of the centuries until this present hour. It was not a part of the creation, nor a part of God's original plan. Even physical death is an enemy of God and an enemy of man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that physical death is the last enemy that shall be put underfoot. Now, friends, before we can understand the nature of death, however, we must understand the nature of man. Man is not a physical being. Man is a spirit. In fact, man is a spirit being, or a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. Now notice 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul praying for the church at Thessalonica said, I pray God your whole spirit, now it comes to the outside, and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Son of Man. So in fact, let's say it again, man is a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. When Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again, Nicodemus was thinking naturally, and he asked, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus explained, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. John's Gospel, 3:4-6. You see, friends, the new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. The real man is spirit. The spirit operates through the soul, man's intellect, sensibilities, and so on. And the soul, in turn, operates through the physical body. Now, the man who is spirit and his soul live in a physical body. At physical death, the man and his soul leave the physical body and go to their home. Christ gave us in Luke, the 16th chapter, the 19th through the 24th verse, the experience of the rich man and Lazarus. Notice he said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, physically died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice that the angels carried him, not his body, but him, spirit and soul, to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus and the rich man were still conscious. Man is not dead like an animal, as some folks would have you to believe, and there is no such thing as soul sleep. Several kinds of death are spoken of in the Bible, but there are three kinds with which we need to familiarize ourselves. First, spiritual death. Second, physical death. Third, eternal death, or the second death, which is being cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The real death is that which lays hold of our spirits rather than our bodies. Physical death is but a manifestation of its parent, spiritual death. The second death is the ultimate finality of death, or the home of the spiritual dead. Spiritual death came to the earth first, and then manifested itself in the physical by destroying it. Physical death is but a manifestation of the law which is at work within, called by Paul the law of sin and death in Romans 8:2. When God said to Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, he did not refer to physical death, but to spiritual death. If man had never died spiritually, he would not have died physically. Spiritual death means separation from God. The moment Adam sinned, he was separated from God. And when God came down in the cool of the day, as he was his custom, to walk and to talk with Adam, and called Adam, "Where art thou?" Adam said, "I hid myself." He was separated from God. If man is ever saved, he has to be saved by someone's paying the penalty for his sins and someone's giving him a new nature. You might take a flop-eared mule and try to make a racehorse of him. You could file his teeth and polish his hooves. You could feed him the finest food, run him around the track every day, and house him in the finest stable. But on the day of the race, when the gun sounds, all he'll do is lope off down the track because he's a mule. It's just not in him. Yet you can take a racehorse and not give him his good care. But when you put on the starting line and the gun sound, he's gone. It's his nature. He's born and bred that way. In order for that old mule to make a racehorse, he would have to be reborn, and that's impossible. Man, however, who is a spirit living in a body, can be reborn. His nature can be changed. He can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how well educated man becomes, how many degrees he has, or initials at the end of his name, how many dollars he has, how good a social worker he is, nor how religious he is. Man cannot stand in the presence of God. His nature is wrong. Man is lost today, not because of what he does, but because of what he is. What he does is the result of what he is. Man needs life from God because he's spiritually dead. Well, thanks be unto God, Christ has redeemed us from spiritual death. In John's Gospel, the 5th chapter and the 26th verse, Jesus said, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." The new man, Jesus Christ, had no death in him. He was not born as we are born, and he didn't have the spiritual nature of death in him. Yet the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9 that he tasted death for every man. He took upon himself our sin nature. Hebrews 9:26 says he put away sin, not sins, notice that. Put away sin, singular, sin, not sins, by the sacrifice of himself. You see, he took upon himself our sin nature, the nature of spiritual death, that we might have eternal life. Jesus said, John 10:10, "The thief," speaking about the devil, "cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In John 5:24, Jesus said, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus came to redeem us from spiritual death. Adam was banished from the tree of life through rejecting God's word. According to Revelation 2:7, all who now accept and obey the word of God are brought back to the tree of life. The new birth does not take place gradually. It is instantaneous. It is a gift of God received the moment we believe. In Ephesians 2:1, it says that you who were dead in trespasses and sins, that spiritual death, he has quickened or made alive. And verses 8 and 9 tell you how it came about. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now notice, Ephesians 2:9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works. That punctures the balloon of the ego. Man wants to do something to save himself. He wants to have a part in it, but you can't. You have to simply admit your helplessness and your hopelessness. You have to admit that you're just what the Bible says, a lost sinner. Then you come and accept what Christ has wrought for you, a gift. Have you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Is God your Father? Can you look up to heaven and say, "Father God"? Is His Spirit within your spirit, bearing witness that you are a child of God? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit crying, Abba, Father? You do if you are born again. If you are not, accept Christ as your Savior today. Romans the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses said, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it reads, Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The new birth is a new creation from above. The direct operation of the Word of God and the Spirit of God upon your life, changing your spirit completely when you truly repent and turn to God. This new creation is brought about in the following manner. Number one, as Romans 3:23 said, recognize this fact that you are a sinner, for all have sinned, it said, and come short of the glory of God. So recognize that you are a sinner, lost without God and without hope. Number two, admit that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you from sin by His own precious blood. Number three, come to God, repenting of your sins and turning away from sin, pleading the merits of the blood of Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be born again. The Holy Spirit will then make you a new creature, or a new creation, cleansing you from all sin by the authority of the Word of God and by the blood of Christ which was shed to atone for your sins. And then finally, believe from your heart and confess with your mouth that God does forgive you of your sins and that He does cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Here are some scriptures which will show you what you have in your authority to believe and confess. Now notice Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 6, verse 37. And him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a basis for faith! There is no such thing as a person coming to Him and being rejected or cast out. Jesus said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. What a basis of faith this is. There is no such thing as a person coming to Him and being cast out. Jesus said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast him out. Then in John's Gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 21, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you have the intelligence to see what the Bible says for yourselves. Again, we warn, do not listen to the interpretations of men who will tear apart the simple scriptures and leave you confused. They do not care for your soul, or they would not seek to rob you of your true Christian experiences. If they had a love for you at all, they would at least permit you to believe the Bible just as it is, and they would encourage you to get the Bible experiences. When they fight so hard to rob you of these benefits, you would be a fool not to wake up and see that they are agents of the devil in sending men to hell. It matters not that they're the most refined and wonderful religious men you've ever met. They are not ministers of God if they're robbing you of God's blessings. The Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. We read that Jesus said in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, just before he said that, he had said in the 5th verse of John 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is the water of the new birth? What does this water of the new birth mean? Does it refer to being baptized in water? Does that save you? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. The Word of God is the water referred to in John 3:5. Let's prove that by looking through a number of scriptures. First, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the Word. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 15:3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When one believes what the word of God says, that he's a sinner, that Christ died to save him from all sin, and if he confesses his sins to God and turns from sin with a whole heart and believes the gospel, he is conforming to the word. The Holy Spirit will then transform his life by the power of the word of God and by the blood of Christ. That moment, he is born again. This new creation man, this newly born child of God, is then to believe it and to walk accordingly. He is to begin reading the Bible and praying to God. He is to walk and to live in the Spirit and conform to the Word of God as he receives light. Being born again, becoming the child of God, is of foremost importance. It is the key that unlocks all the promises of God to you. For when you become a child of God, then God's promises become yours. Now pray this prayer after me to receive Jesus as Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I know you won't cast me out, but take me in, and I thank you for it. You said in your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on your name now. So I know you save me now. You said also, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was raised from the dead for my justification. and I confess him now as my Lord. Because your word says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and I do believe with my heart. I have now become the righteousness of God in Christ, and I am saved. Thank you, Lord.